This is Hoosier Ag This Week, a weekly recap of farm news, including a look at this week's American Farm Bureau Convention and a look at the markets during USDA Crop Report Week. I'm Andy Eubank.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer. Today we're joined by HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin, who has the new Indiana Farm Forecast. And I'll preview the new Purdue Crop Chat podcast, where one ag economist reveals his decent profit margin outlook for 2022, despite rising input costs.
And also, Eric, you have an important segment today with the Purdue Extension Farm Stress Team and what they're doing to help with farmer stress.
Yeah, Andy, it's really important work they're doing to help reduce the stigma that surrounds mental health in agriculture. We'll chat about the programs they offer to help. We begin today's show, though, in Atlanta, Georgia. As we mentioned last weekend, the Farm Bureau Annual Convention was underway. It concluded at the beginning of this week and ended quite nicely for one Indiana farm couple.
So, who gets the keys to a new Ford truck? The winners of the 2022 Achievement Award are Indiana's Jacob and Jill Smoker.
That was the exciting moment on Monday as LaPorte County farmers Jake and Jill Smoker won the Young Farmers and Ranchers Achievement Award that recognizes young farmers who have excelled in their farming operations and have exhibited superior leadership abilities.
It's unreal, Eric. We didn't expect, it was just an honor to go down and compete at a national level and be able to represent Indiana in the way we did. I'm still trying to process it. Jill's still trying to process it. I know when they announced our name on stage, I didn't even hear the name. All I heard was Indiana, and Jill grabbed my hand and kind of pulled me forward. So it's still just an unreal experience.
I asked Smoker what made their application stand out above the rest. He says he and Jill have been asking themselves that same question, but he believes their application displayed their love of agriculture, a love of their community, and a love of Farm Bureau.
I used to work in Chicago and had an opportunity to come back to the farm, and I had parents that were very supportive of me getting involved in Farm Bureau and taking time away from the operation to go to the State House and go to D.C. and be able to have those kind of experiences. Those kind of things, I think translated into our application.
The Smokers will receive a new Ford truck and paid registration to the Young Farmers and Ranchers Conference in Louisville next month. Jake and Jill served as representatives for the Young Farmers and Ag Professionals State Committee from 2017 to 2019, with Jake serving as chairman in 2019. Hear why he believes you should get involved in the Young Farmers program in the Full HAT interview at HoosierAgToday.com.
While not a normal year, 2021 was good for farmers, according to American Farm Bureau Federation Chief Economist Roger Cryan. And speaking at the Farm Bureau Annual Convention in Atlanta, Cryan says, look for issues from 2020 and 2021 to carry over into this year.
The pandemic is not over, so people are still spending money differently. They're buying stuff instead of restaurant meals or tickets to the ball game, so forth. Crowded ports and too few truck drivers are making it hard to move ag products and other stuff that people are buying. And of course, geopolitics is affecting our access to markets and our availability of farm inputs in many ways as well. And inflation is a very serious concern for the first time in 40 years.
Cryan says net farm income is expected above average for 22, but they don't expect any further government payments beyond normal programs. Farm Bureau President Zippy Duval says supply chain issues remain top of mind for Farm Bureau members.
Well, there's two issues. They're concerned about the prices, and they're even more concerned about the availability of it. We got some suppliers saying they're going to try their best to deliver to their everyday customers that do business with them every day, but it's going to prevent new customers and new farmers and new people getting involved in agriculture from even having a supply to go to. But we're very, very concerned. Whatever the interruption is, whether it be at our ports, whether it be in tariffs, whatever that might be, we got to find a solution to it.
Farm Bureau President Zippy Duval, he was reelected for another term. Also, with on-farm labor struggles continuing, delegates approved additional policies to build on existing AFBF policies, emphasizing the need for employee stabilization and reforms to the guest worker program. Delegates updated policy on biofuels to include renewable diesel, and they voted to support raising the standard for federal broadband projects to be at least 100 megabits per second for both uploads and downloads. Also, Margaret Gladden of Indiana was reelected to another two-year term on the Women's Leadership Committee.
And Andy, also at the Farm Bureau annual convention last weekend, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack took to the stage to discuss topics important to farmers, including the Phase 1 trade agreement with China that recently expired.
Our Chinese friends are about $16 billion light over what they committed to purchase.
He's referring, of course, to China's commitment to purchase at least $40 billion in ag goods per year as part of that agreement. He believes further consultations between negotiators will take place to ensure enforcement of that purchase agreement, as well as enforcement of the sanitary and phytosanitary barriers that China agreed to remove under Phase 1.
Whether it's ractopamine in pork, hormones in beef, ethanol tariffs, or the ability to purchase more DDGs, we're going to continue to press China on the need for complete enforcement and complete implementation of this trade agreement before we begin the process of discussing the possibility of extensions.
It does appear, though, that Vilsack does not expect immediate resolution to those issues. While speaking to the crowd last weekend, he did mention China perhaps making up the $16 billion deficit over the course of the next several years. It's been an interesting week for the ag markets. With the breakdown, here's Andy Eubank.
Thanks, Eric. We ended the week with another down day in the bean market. Higher corn numbers coming up. First market analysis with Bob Utterback at Utterback Marketing Services. And I spoke to him in the middle of Friday's trading day. We have some higher moves during the trading day Friday in both corn and wheat. However, soybeans trade lower, and that has been a trend since the USDA report. And overall, there has been, since that report, really a negative tone in the markets. How do you see it?
Going into the report, you know, into December, into January, the market had been on a pretty good tear and rallied more than everybody would have thought would have had based off the December report. But everybody got really cautious before the January report, looking for potentially a surprise. And the report was really a dud. It didn't have any bullish surprise, but didn't have a bearish surprise. But the problem is, since the market has been rallying for, I think, the last 3 to 4 weeks, overall, the tone has been positive. The market gave the bulls no more gas. And then the South American is still dry. There's pockets, but the harvest is right around the corner. And you got a lot of farmers now itchy. They got cash inventory to sell. They either got basis contracts or they got unpriced inventory. And they're getting a little nervous, especially the bean guys, because they were all convinced the market was going to take off after this report. And now they got caught. And so the issue now will be, from here in, as inventory starts coming in from South America, cash flow sales start coming in February, what's going to be the impetus that really pushes the market higher? The only one I could think of was maybe China might be buying a little prior to the Olympics to make everybody feel a little better. That could possibly be one. But I don't see any demand surprises, and I see a lot of supply coming in. And I think that's why the market's going to take a break in the beans, especially, and corn, secondly.
Yeah, I was going to say, so you're not real optimistic about some of that bean movement that you say everyone expected coming out of the report.
No, I think that they've lost their technical momentum now. To turn the tide for this market, you're going to have a fundamental event.
Bob Utterback at Utterback Marketing Services. The number there is 800-832-1488. On the Hat Friday Farm Market Review, higher corn, that was about it by the time the markets settled. March corn goes to 596 and a quarter, gaining 8 3/4. And May 597 and a quarter, up 7 3/4. Better than a nickel higher on July corn. 7.5 cents down on the March soybean contract, 1369 3/4. That market trading lower all day long. May beans, 1379 1/2, 7 3/4 down, and July down 8 3/4 at 1386. Back and forth in the wheat market. Chicago March wheat ends down a nickel and a quarter, 741 1/2. And strong in livestock with April live cattle, 142.12, up $1.15. April lean hogs, 88.45, a pickup of $3.12. That's a look at the Friday markets. No trading on Monday in observance of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag This Week.
It's a rare occurrence that we're seeing today, but we are missing a winter snow event. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Weekend Weather Outlook, and it's brought to you as always by Seed Genetics Direct, a family-owned company, so you don't have to deal with corporate games or high prices. Get their seed guide with pricing by calling 740-505-6545. It's a rare occurrence that we miss snow. That's what I said as I opened this report. That's really not quite right. It's a rare occurrence that we miss snow like this. We have a winter storm system that started to dig its way southward through eastern North and South Dakota and southern Minnesota yesterday. It moved into Iowa late yesterday and overnight down into Missouri and is in Arkansas this morning. It's going to be starting to curve and move through northern Mississippi, northern Alabama, southern Tennessee as we move through the next 24 to 36 hours. Eventually, this low hooks to the northeast and it rides the spine of the Appalachians to the northeast. It'll bring some fairly significant snow into parts of Ohio. I'm looking at some big time snows to south and east of a line from Cleveland to Cincinnati. Why am I giving you all of this outlay? Well, because look, it's not very often we can see a winter storm that does a complete drive around. It's a drive-by, if you will, and completely misses the Hoosier State. But that's what's happening this time around. The closest we see to any moisture really dealing with us at all, a little bit of cloud cover and maybe a flurry or two here this morning in southwestern parts of the state. But other than that, we are fully missing this thing. Clouds and sunshine expected for us all through the weekend. Now, this storm system does pull down some much colder air to start next week. Yeah, it's chilly here over the weekend, but much colder air coming from Monday and Tuesday. With that, I think we see mixed clouds and sunshine, and we could also see some lake effect trying to pop up in northern parts of Indiana. So watch for some flurries. Nothing substantial, but something around. The rest of next week is mostly dry. I don't see anything impacting Indiana from Monday through Sunday, with the exception of some lake effect here and there. I think we're actually moving into a very, very dry pattern. But what I will also tell you is toward the end of this coming week and into next weekend, so the 22nd, 23rd, and then Monday the 24th, we're seeing an Arctic high dive southward. And this is a brutal stretch of cold air that we could see. Temperatures could be the coldest of the season so far, centering on Wisconsin, Michigan, and northern Indiana. I do see some light at the end of the tunnel. You go back farther west during that week of the 24th, and we start to see some significant warming over the western third of the country, big upper-level ridge trying to build there. Whether it can translate all the way eastward or not, that's up in the air, but I do have the feeling that we are going to be seeing warmer temperatures as we try and finish January going into February. That's your forecast update. I'm Ryan Martin.
The best soybeans in Indiana just got even better. The next generation of Enlist E3 soybeans are here and available now from Dairyland Seed. We're talking unique genetics only available in Corteva brand products, an improved agronomic package, including better tolerance to white mold and more yield potential with proven performance in research trials. Make the better choice with next-gen Dairyland Seed brand Enlist E3 soybeans. Visit DairylandSeed.com or contact your local Indiana dealer to learn more.
Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week. From Hoosier Ag Today, I'm farm broadcaster Eric Pfeiffer. 2021 proved to be a good year for farmers from a yield and farm income standpoint. USDA pegged Indiana's 2021 corn yield at a record high 195 bushels per acre in its final report on Wednesday. Indiana soybeans came in at a record high 59.5 bushels per acre. We review those numbers and look ahead to this upcoming growing season on the Purdue Crop Chat podcast, now available at HoosierAgToday.com. Special guest Michael Langemeyer, Purdue Ag Economist, joined the show.
Yeah, certainly 22 is not going to be as good as 2021, but I don't think it's going to be that different from 2020. And that's good news, because certainly 2020 was better than 2014 to 2019. So I don't think we're going back to the relatively low returns we saw.
He says that because of the high input costs we're seeing across the board, but especially in nitrogen fertilizer and herbicides. He reminds farmers,
everything needs to pay for itself. This is true in every year, but this is a good year to really preach this as an economist. You need to look at the benefits versus the cost of every decision you make. I think it's true in particular with herbicides. With a large increase in herbicides, for particularly some of the herbicides, maybe you need to cut down an application.
Purdue Extension corn specialist Dan Quinn says another way to potentially reduce costs for 22 is to reevaluate your seeding rates and plant populations. The research shows that with a final plant population of 28,000 to a final plant population of 35,000, there's only about a 0.5% difference in yield.
Newer hybrids that we have do respond to higher plant populations. They can tolerate high plant populations, and I think that some of that mindset is I need to keep pushing my plant populations 38, 39, 40,000 seeds per acre because I have this new hybrid that can tolerate these plant populations. But newer hybrids also tolerate lower populations, and they do really well at low populations compared to hybrids in the past. So it's something to be paying attention to and taking a look at your plant populations, and maybe you can back some of those off on some of your corn acres.
Soybean specialist Sean Castile agrees, saying it's similar in soybeans. 100,000 to 120,000 plants has always been his turnkey agronomically, but he says you can go lower than that and yield quite well.
We have folks that are over 140,000 seeding rates. They seriously need to be looking at their seeding rates and to save a lot of money right in that alone.
Again, hear more with the guys in the Purdue Crop Chat podcast found at HoosierAgToday.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. Water hemp, giant ragweed, and for no-tillers, mare's tail as well. Those were the problem weeds for Indiana in 2021. Ron Geis, market development specialist for Corteva, says the best strategy to help control these weeds in 2022 is a two-shot approach with early applications, the first in time to get rained into the soil, and then an early post-emerge. And he stresses the word early, as many farmers have the misnomer that the later you wait, the more weeds you'll kill.
When we put a product out that we expect residual control, that residual herbicide needs to get on and into the soil. Okay, let's think about this. If we spray when the crop is a foot tall and the weeds are a foot tall, how much is getting to the soil? Not very much. And that's kind of the misnomer. Yeah, we might kill the weeds that are there, but our residual control suffers.
So what does that look like in corn?
Let's start with some SureStart or Keystone. Get that into the soil. And then early post, when that corn's just where you can row it, then we'll come back with some Resicor or Realm Q. Kill the weeds that are there, the escapes from the pre, and then give residual that keeps going through the season.
And for soybeans,
we'll start with a strong soybean herbicide like Sonic, like our new Kyber. Kyber's just introduced in the market last year. Three active ingredients, every one of them solid on water hemp. So if you want to declare water hemp war, Kyber's your answer.
And then Geis recommends, whether you're on the Enlist system or not, to put Everpre X as your residual control post-emerge on soybeans. The United Soybean Board reports soybean farmers in the U.S. exported a record quantity of soybeans during the 2020-2021 marketing year. U.S. soy shipped 74.76 million metric tons of product, valued at more than $34 billion. Monty Peterson is chairman of the U.S. Soybean Export Council, a soybean checkoff partner. He's also a North Dakota soybean and corn farmer. He explains what led to the record export year.
If you think back a few years ago, we were dealing with African swine fever. We've certainly all been dealing with the pandemic, but we've had some pent-up demand because of those things. And I think probably what's even more exciting, at least to me, is that our number one customer, the soy that China imports from us, that wasn't their largest import from the U.S. this last year. The reason for these exports is a host of other countries that have decided to come to the U.S. to buy U.S. soy.
And Peterson says a large part of this success is due to research and education programs funded by the Soy Checkoff to help improve nutrition and food security, environmental sustainability, and livelihoods around the world.
We've got growing populations, growing economies, an appetite for a better diet, a diet that's based on protein. And of course, soy is really the driver in increasing protein in human diets. And we're seeing the fruition of that.
Find out more about key investments made on behalf of U.S. soybean farmers at unitedsoybean.org. The Purdue Ag Alumni Fish Fry, originally set for February 4th, has been postponed until April 30th due to COVID-19. If you're still able to go to the event, the tickets you have will work just fine. If you're no longer able to make it, find this story at HoosierAgToday.com to figure out how you can get your refund. There's still more to come here on the Weekend Show. This is Hoosier Ag This Week from Hoosier Ag Today. This is Money Minute, farm financial tips from the experts at AgriFinancial. Today we're with Barry Rager, Regional Sales Officer with AgriFinancial, talking about the ins and outs of Farm Service Agency or FSA loan programs. Barry, there are several different options within the FSA structure. One is called the 50-50 Farm Ownership Loan Program. Can you explain it to us?
The financing institution such as AgriFinancial would do 50% of the purchase on the real estate. FSA would do a second mortgage on that. And with FSA, the loans can be up to 30 to 40 years fixed, depends on cash flow and certain parameters FSA deems on their part. On our part with AgriFinancial, we could go up to 30 years on that. This program is used for only on purchases on farm real estate. So if they're buying a piece of property and they don't have the 30% down, they could possibly look at the 50-50 program.
To connect with Barry or the ag lending expert in your area to learn more, visit cgb-agfi.com. This has been Money Minute from AgriFinancial.
Need to add more value to your crops next year? Do input costs have you wondering where the extra money is going to come from? Call IOM Grain today at 260-726-6224 and find out what non-GMO soybean varieties you can raise for a premium. We pay guaranteed high premiums at CBOT Plus. No basis uncertainty, no behind-the-scenes calculations, no exceptions. Call today, 260-726-6224 or visit IOMGrain.com. It's a new year full of promise and possibilities, and yes, problems and challenges. Hoosier Ag Today is ready to keep you informed in 2022 with farm markets, weather, and outstanding news coverage. This station is your source for relevant, timely, and credible information. Wishing you good health and hope in the new year from all of us at Hoosier Ag Today.
Keeping you in the know on Indiana Agriculture. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today, and this is Hoosier Ag This Week. We're really excited about this new partnership we have with the Purdue Extension Farm Stress Team. And with us today from the Purdue Extension Farm Stress Team is Abby Heidenreich. She's an Ag and Natural Resources Educator for Purdue Extension in Orange County and a member of the Farm Stress Team. And Abby, again, we're really excited about this because this is a conversation that continues to happen. It's really gained a lot of traction over the last few years especially. But farm stress is real and folks are suffering from it. And there are resources available through you and your team. Can you tell us a little bit more about the Purdue Extension Farm Stress Team?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. The Purdue Extension Farm Stress Team is made up of a group of educators across the state of Indiana who focus on ag, natural resources, and health and human sciences. And we have come together across our program areas in an effort to open up the conversation of mental health in agriculture and really reduce some of the stigma surrounding, you know, the stress that farmers feel and the stigma that surrounds getting help for that stress and kind of some of the negative effects that come with stress and how it can affect your physical and mental health and your day-to-day lives. So the Farm Stress Team is a group of educators. And what we do is we kind of get together and put on programs. And that's kind of what we do as educators. We put on programs that talk about stress, talk about how you can recognize stress in yourself and others, talk about what stress can do to your body, and how you can kind of combat that stress a little bit, some things that you can do to help reduce your stress levels, and, you know, figure out where to go from here, where you can find help, where you can find resources that will help you cope with the stress of your day-to-day life. In agriculture, it's a very high stress job. That's no secret. But it doesn't need to be a secret that it's stressful and that there's some help out there for the stress. It doesn't have to be the most stressful thing in your life. It shouldn't affect every single part of your life. The farm is just one part of who you are, and you are more than the farm. And that's one of the things that our team tries to convey to farmers, to people in agribusiness, in rural communities, anybody affected by agriculture. You feel the stress, the volatility of the markets, the prices of inputs and costs of seed and everything else. It all piles up. And when it all piles up, that's when things can shake and kind of implode on themselves. And that's one of the things that we're trying to do as a team, is to talk about these issues, the problems that farmers are facing, and how we can help. Our goal is to reduce the number of farm suicides across the state of Indiana. but also to reduce that stigma surrounding mental health.
Again, I'm with Abby Heidenreich, Purdue Extension educator and a member of the Purdue Extension Farm Stress Team. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today, and we're talking about farm stress. And Abby, you touched on programs that are available that you and your team will go out and educate folks on. Can you talk a little bit more about the programs that you offer and how folks can get involved with that?
Yeah, so the Farm Stress Team, we put on programs. We have two programs that we are certified to teach right now, and those are through Michigan State University, their curriculum. And we have a one-hour program for farmers and farm families and how to recognize stress in each other. We also have a four-hour program designed for agribusinesses to kind of teach them how to recognize farm stress in their customers and what to do when you notice farm stress and the negative impacts of it. So those are the two programs that, you know, are kind of packaged, but we can also come up with anything that addresses the needs of your community. We've done specific talks for specific groups of people. So if you have a need for a program, please reach out. You can find us on our website, extension.purdue.edu/farmstress. And we will put together a program with the educators that are closest to you and, you know, address the needs that you have. We can put together something for anybody. So our main goal is to address the needs that exist. So a lot of times we come into a community that has recently experienced a farm suicide, or, you know, has been shaken by some kind of a mental health related event, and do some crisis response. So there's a lot of different things that we can do as a team to come in and help.
That's Abby Heidenreich with the Purdue Extension Farm Stress Team. And again, Abby, we're really excited about this partnership that we have with your team to bring this message to farmers. Abby and I are going to continue chatting, and you can hear our full interview at HoosierAgToday.com. Just find this story and click on the play button down at the bottom of the page. But Abby, the work you and your team are doing, it's fantastic work. It's much needed work. Hopefully today we've reached a farmer that maybe isn't seeking this help, but maybe needs it. And again, we're hopeful that we can help you spread this message and reduce the stigma around mental health. You've got resources available. Can you give us that website one more time?
extension.purdue.edu/farmstress.
Abby Heidenreich with the Orange County Purdue Extension Office, thank you so much for joining us on Hoosier Ag Today.
Thank you.
Again, more with Heidenreich at HoosierAgToday.com, the rest of our conversation, and a link to that website. And while you're there, check out all the other farm news we have. That's where we keep you up to date, as well as right here on this hat station. Thank you for joining us this weekend. Enjoy the rest of it. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This has been Hoosier Ag This Week from Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.